Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here with my lovely wife. Okay. With her normal enthusiasm, as always. That's just how we do it. And I'm also here with another guest who you might have remembered from a previous podcast, depending on when the other one goes out. But I think that one will go out before this one. But just in case, tell everyone who you are.
Hi, everyone. My name is Talar. I host a NBA show on Waltham Cable. It's called Center Court TV. Go look it up on Instagram, on Twitter. Thank you so much for having me.
Spell Waltham because not everyone... I'm international. I have three people from out the country.
W-A-L-T-H-A-M channel, if you want to go catch it. The Instagram handle is at @center_court_tv. Go check it out. You know, all the content you could ask for. We've got it there.
I don't know if I follow @center_court_tv, but I do now.
At this cool Jaylen Brown edit I made like 2 days ago.
I also noticed that one of you guys put up the Russell Westbrook Houston picks.
Of course.
Well, I think it's going to work out.
That's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, I need to actually follow this because you actually know what's going on. Paul Gasol to Portland?
Yeah, yes, sir. I follow Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter, so I get all his alerts.
Smart.
Thank you for the follow.
Absolutely. Kyle Korver to the Bucks?
Where have you been?
Comic books.
Yeah, you need to follow this account.
that's my thing. It's funny how much I study like comic books. Like it's become I go back and reread stuff now for articles or future knowledge. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking at this all right, how can I work this next thing into an article? How can I work this next thing into podcasts and stuff like that? So now I still read comic books for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I have to go back and read something after I finish the review, and I have to go back and really sit and enjoy it as someone who enjoys comic books. You know what I mean?
For yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just did a review for The Boys, which should be on oldmanwade.com within the next couple of days. And I watched it, but I'm watching it just so for the sole purposes of picking three things out for three different sections. And I couldn't really, and I enjoyed it, and I loved it. But I couldn't really, sit and watch it. And then when I watched it again, I noticed some stuff that I didn't like, but I also saw some other things that I liked even more.
Oh, see? You always gotta, reread it.
Yeah. Well, rewatch. It was The Boys on Amazon, which I can't wait to finish. I have been waiting for The Boys to finish. I'm waiting for them to put a TV show or movie out for The Boys since I read Volume 1. It is one of the most vulgar, gory, and disgusting books you'll ever read, but that's only the surface part of the comic book, because the main focal point about it is it's about finding someone, and it's not just in a romantic way, it's about finding friendships, finding new family, refinding your friendships and people that you used to hang out with. It's a much deeper story, but a lot of people won't be able to get past, I think, the everything else to realize what the story is actually about.
Yeah, interesting.
And so far, I've only seen episode 1, but as we're recording this, but they did a good job of showing that the show's not just about the gore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm hoping that they actually go somewhere with this. But since we're talking about comic books, let's get into something that I've been dying to talk about with someone. Apparently, they're bringing back Natalie Portman and Jane Foster.
I hate Natalie Portman. Right. Actually, no. I love Natalie Portman. I do not love her as Jane Foster. How about that?
Yeah.
Because I really do like Natalie Portman as an actress.
Mm-hmm. She was great in *Beef Vendetta*.
Just isn't a good Jane Foster.
No, she's bland.
So if you could recast Jane Foster,
Anne Hathaway, Anne Hathaway.
Wow, you already
didn't even finish the sentence.
I'm writing an article on it.
How you really feel.
I'm writing an article about it, and I was like, Anne Hathaway.
Oh,
Yeah.
Like Anne Hathaway is one of the most, I think, one of the most beloved actresses, actors in Hollywood. And she can do literally everything.
I love her. She's awesome. I've loved her since her Princess Diary days. Those movies are incredible. But I don't know too much about the actual comic character of Jane Foster. So is that, like, an actress that would fall in line with that character? Better than...
The character of Jane Foster has had a lot of evolution over the last, I would say, 15 years.
Okay.
Over the last, we'll say 5 to 8 years, Jane Foster has become a more powerful character. And not just in the sense of, like, her becoming Thor, but her just being more out there. For example, when Thor came back after he died, fun fact, comic book characters come and go. She had a conversation with Donald Blake. And when he found out that he was there for false pretenses, she slapped the shit out of him. It was like, excuse me, because it was like, you know, you die, you come back, and the first time you see me is to talk about something else. It was different. But she's always been more, she's not Lois Lane.
Okay.
Let's put it like that. Lois Lane, when she first started, was like the epitome of a damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
As time went on, she wasn't that. And Jane Foster has been a stronger character.
Mm-hmm.
Before she became Thor, she had cancer. This was right before they gave her this run. And Thor was no longer worthy to pick up Mjolnir, the hammer. But she was. No one else could lift this hammer but her. Odin couldn't even lift it. And he was the one who put the initial, like...
Spell,
thank you. The initial spell on it. And he couldn't even lift it. But she could. So, she became a much different Thor. She said something that, like, I guess the hammer spoke to her.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor said, it didn't even do that for me.
Hmm.
So, there were things that the hammer would do for her that it wouldn't do for Thor. And it could be for multiple reasons. Maybe Thor just didn't really appreciate what it did, as opposed to Jane Foster, who was on her way to die from cancer, could appreciate everything a lot more. So, the reason I look at Anne Hathaway, she's taller.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a better actor. I think she's a better performer. And I also think she's not as bland as we've seen Jane. She could be a little more... I think she fits the style that the new writer and director is going with from, like, Thor Ragnarok. You know what I mean? So, it just seems...
Taika, right?
Yes. I don't want to butcher the gentleman's name.
I think that's how you pronounce it. Like, right? I don't know. But I do know that he directed... he is responsible for What We Do in the Shadows. And I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but that is one of my new favorite shows because he is responsible for it. And it is so funny and so well done. Like, absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Is that the... I feel like it's a vampire kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a vampire show.
Taika Waititi?
Yeah.
If I butchered his name, I apologize. I'm super American.
I genuinely don't know how to pronounce it, but I just pronounce it how I've seen it written, and I've seen it written like that. It's Taika Waititi. That's how I've seen it. He is the sole reason, and we'll get into this part, I think, a little later, but he's the big reason why Valkyrie, I think, is more of a queer character.
Yes.
Yes. It's not the Russo brothers. It's him.
Which is a good thing, I think. And I know... But we'll get into that part. But in terms of Anne Hathaway doing that, I think she fits the mold a little bit. But we've seen Anne Hathaway do comedy. We've seen her be goofy. We've seen her be fun. Like, you know what I mean? But we've also seen her be dramatic in these fun roles.
The Les Miserables role that she does.
See, I don't think the person pronounces it like that.
That role that she plays, she was tremendous.
Yeah.
But she's mostly comedy.
Yeah.
She's in a lot of Ocean's 8, which is, she has a lot of dry humor in that one.
I haven't seen that
yet. You haven't seen that? So she's in that one, and she plays an actress in that movie.
That's funny.
Which is always amusing to me. And she absolutely kills it. In every role I've seen Anne Hathaway in, she always delivers. Like, I've never been disappointed by an Anne Hathaway film.
So my introduction to her was The Devil Wears Prada. I saw that with one of my homegirls like years ago. I'm trying to find a movie she did recently that I absolutely loved. Colossal.
Colossal. What's the one with Rebel Wilson? I wanted to see it. It's the goodness.
It is The Hustle.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. That was supposed to be. I think that was supposed to be pretty good.
I've heard good things about The Hustle. I've heard really, really good things about The Hustle.
It looks like a fun movie.
But the two of them together, there's no way it couldn't be good.
Oh yeah.
I wish people like Rebel Wilson and like Jenny McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
I wish they wouldn't get typecast as the funny, fat, calamitous person.
Yeah.
I think Melissa McCarthy's a lot better than people give her credit for.
Well, Melissa McCarthy seems like she's taking a lot of serious roles lately.
Yes.
And it's been a little weird to adjust to it. Like, I haven't really adjusted to her being in a serious role. Because I personally just see her as, like, the personality, I see her as a funny person.
Yeah.
So, like, it's been weird to see. She has a new movie coming out. It's called, like, The Kitchen or something. And it's, like, a really serious film.
Good for her. Because I it's kind of like the Jim Carrey thing where it's, like, don't just be the person who, like, gets hit with a pie in the face mm-hmm. and then trips and falls. Like, you're better than that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but back to the Anne Hathaway thing, I think she's a better representative of, and I think she could play the action role a lot better than Natalie Portman can. We've seen her in her stellar role in episodes 1-3 of Star Wars.
Oh, man, yeah, Jesus, that what a mess, huh? You know what the funny part is? And I don't know how I ever got this mixed up. I used to mix up when I was younger. Because the Pirates of the Caribbean movies came out when I was young. I used to mix her and Keira Knightley up all the time.
They're essentially the same person.
Like, whatever happened to Keira Knightley? What happened there? What is she doing?
Let's find out. Yeah, Keira Knightley and they're essentially the same person.
Right? Like, it's not just me.
It's you know bizarre. Who also looks a lot like Natalie Portman? 11.
The
Stranger Things.
You think so?
Like, if you look at pictures of Natalie Portman when she was younger and that actress.
Really?
They look the same.
Oh, man, I forget her name. Did you guys finish season 3?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was good.
It was so cute.
I loved it.
We can actually end the show with that if you'd like. We can talk about, because I haven't actually talked about that on a podcast yet.
Oh, yeah?
No, not yet. So, Keira Knightley has been in, she's in post-production of a movie called Misbehavior.
Mm-hmm.
The Aftermath, I Love You, Berlin, or Berlin, I Love You. Official Secret. So she's been in a few things. Oh, The Nutcrackers, The Four Realms.
She was in that?
She was the Sugar Plum.
Yeah, I didn't see that movie. I don't know. But, like, it doesn't seem like she's been in very mainstream movies.
I mean, she's got Pirates of the Caribbean money, so she's good. She didn't have to act another day in her life.
Honestly, what was she? Was she 3 movies?
Yep.
She was in 3. Yeah. Oh yeah.
She was in the good. She was in the big 3 of Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So she's fine. Keira Knightley probably would have been a better Jane Foster than
Portman.
Yeah, because I feel like Keira Knightley's also like when we've seen the Pirates of the Caribbean, like when she was funny or when she was like kind of like naive or goofy, it was believable.
Yeah, when she, like, got up and kind of, like, I think it was in the second one she started to, like, take, like, command more. They gave her a big role. That was more, like, I liked her. She kind of showed her range more.
Fuck, I wish I would have did. I wonder if I could switch that. Fuck, now I'm thinking about making Keira Knightley. I can switch. I wonder if my editor's actually got to that yet, but maybe I'll switch it. But anyway, you were saying, sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just saying it kind of, like, showed her range a little more. Like, throughout those 3 films, she kind of showed all these different emotions. I don't exactly know how many Portman films I've really seen other than the Thor ones, to be completely honest with you.
You've seen Viva Vendetta, though, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's actually one of my favorite films.
It's fun fact. It's actually in my top 2.
It is so good. And she's good in that film. But other than that, I don't know what else. I've probably seen
Black Swan.
I never watched that, but I know she was apparently really good in that one.
I know the scene.
That scene?
I know the scene.
I'm like, I think everyone knows the scene.
Look, man. I'm a dude, so yeah, I know the scene.
I think everyone knows the scene. Oh man!
But she's been in the, like she's been in a bunch of stuff. The Professional is what I think is the one thing I think everyone remembers her from.
That's what she's in. That makes sense.
But yeah, I'm actually writing down "I Know the Scene" as a title. But yeah, like she's just—I don't really look at her, and I don't really look at her, and I think strong female character.
Portman?
Yeah.
No, I don't either.
And like that's my, I think that's been my, I think that's my biggest thing about it is like, if you're going to make this big deal about it, have someone who's going to be strong. Don't just necessarily go with the person who was there first. Like I even wrote that it would be funny for Thor to see Jane Foster and go, "You look different." You go, "Really?" "Yeah." And then just drop it.
Just drop it.
Like nothing else about it. But it was, I just don't, like, did you see when, the director gave her the hammer. It might have been, I'm sure if it was the director or Kevin Feige. I can't remember. I remember someone gave her the like a replica of the hammer.
Yeah.
And she looked awkward. I'm like,
I mean, to be fair, like she hasn't settled into the role yet, so it's possible that she doesn't really know kind of what to do with herself right now. It's interesting. I've seen a lot of mixed feelings about Portman as Thor. I've seen a lot of people being like, you know, good for her. And then I've seen a lot of other people being like, wow, like she just wanted nothing to do with Thor and now all of a sudden she's back, but it's also a different director. It's not the Russo brothers. It's a different direction. It's, if we want to go down this route, it's a possibility of a completely new chapter in Marvel, which is, yes, it's the strong female lead that seems like what they're going for in this new phase,
yeah.
But also, some people have tossed around the whole Valkyrie, Thor thing. Now
I've actually been big on that. I think that
I think that's a tremendous idea, especially with what we've learned about Valkyrie and Tessa Thompson and the whole thing. I think Marvel has a lot that they can do with this. I just Portman makes sense in a way that she's already connected to the franchise, though.
Yes,
you know, and she. It's better in a way to have her than to recast completely. Because it's like, well, you're Jane Foster in the first two movies was Portman. Why is Jane Foster different now if Thor is the same?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because they could have went with a completely different Thor, though, right? Couldn't they have? Couldn't they have, like... I'm asking you from the comic book stance.
They've been different... there have been two Thors. There's been a few Thors. There's been, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was, I guess, Thunderstrike for a while. Thunderstruck, whatever his name was. So, there have been a few Thors, but for the most part, it's the Odin son has been the one that's been most popularly known, and most recently, Jane Foster. But I think, like, replacing Thor now would be weird, I guess, because, like everyone loves Chris Hemsworth, too, so that makes it, that much weirder, I guess.
It is. I mean, I love Chris Hemsworth. I think his personality and what he brought to Thor is like, I don't think he acts that much. I think it's just him.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different now, especially with the guy who's doing the, doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he actually gets it. Like he wants, like, let's just have this be fun. And he was fun. That's the other part about it is, like, Thor is a bit naive.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand a lot of earthly cultures. Like, him, something as simple as him walking into a house and then putting his hammer on a coat hanger.
Mm-hmm.
It's little simple things like that that let me know that, okay, at least the director knows what's going on. But the Russo brothers did the first two Thors. Those weren't good movies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally... I watched Ragnarok, and I was like, I don't know how people feel about this, but this is actually really, really good. And it's the third one, so you're like, isn't... Usually, in a trilogy, you look at the first one, you're like, oh, this is the best film, and then the other two are good, but not as good. But I thought Ragnarok was tremendous.
I think it was the best. It was easily... I would think the... It was the most fun out of all.
It was the most fun.
I will say that. The first two Thors were... Chris Hemsworth was good. Chris Hemsworth was always good. Tom Hiddleston as Loki was always good.
He's awesome.
The Warriors 3, Sith, Odin, all of them were really, really good. I just feel like with the first Thor, I think it was good. So let me not say it was bad. I just think it was maybe a little bit longer than it needed to be.
It was long.
So there was an issue with that. I think with the second Thor, Dark World, it didn't have... It wasn't really entertaining. Hmm. It had its moments, but Malekith was supposed to be... Put it this. If the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok did Malekith, mm-hmm. Malekith would have shined like he did in the comic book. He's a dark elf, but he's also very, like... He's murderous and goofy, if that makes sense. Like, he kind of... He's jovial, like, he'll make a joke while he's stabbing somebody. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's... He makes for a fun villain. And he was just way too serious, and it didn't really... It came off weird, and... It just wasn't really... Thor Dark World just wasn't really a good movie. Yeah. It kind of just seemed like a way for them to introduce another Infinity Stone.
Mm, yeah, I mean, in a sense, you can make the case that with Portman as a new Thor, they have a fresh start.
Yes.
With a new writer, new director, new approach, really, to all of it. Marvel in this Phase 4, you can make a case of it because a completely clean slate, in a way, to... You know, restart everything. I mean, the guys who are in Endgame, our original Avengers aren't necessarily a part of, I mean, some of them are. Black Widow's a part of Phase 4. I think, oh, God, forgive me. What is...
Doctor Strange?
No, the Archer.
Oh, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye, thank you.
No one can see it, but it was just funny that you literally... Pull the arrow out of your out of an imaginary quiver. I don't know if I can remember quiver, but I can't remember that Toronto is not a country.
It's I've been listening to The Archer by Taylor Swift a lot the last few days, so excuse me for that. But yes, Hawkeye. Yes. That is called The Archer, actually.
I don't know if you know this, but old man Wade loves Tay Tay. He's into pop stars. Ariana Grande. Taylor Swift.
Who's my favorite ever, so
look this up. You guys have that in common.
Yeah, look at that. Learn something new every day.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
he loves her.
I'm big into pop stars, and I will not take any judgment from thee.
Yeah, so Hawkeye is a part of Phase 4, and you got, but like...
Is it a movie or is it a show?
Hawkeye, I think it's a movie. I know Black Widow's a movie, which I'm excited about, because it's about time... That Johansson got her own film.
I am in the minority of people mm-hmm. who enjoy Scarlett Johansson in the MCU.
I like her in the MCU.
I don't know if she can lead her own movie, but...
One way to find out.
Yes. I think I agree with you. I think it's long overdue, but I also like that they're doing it the way they are. She's an established character. Mm-hmm. They gave her a final ending. But now we get to see what made her such a badass up until that point.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't really know about Black Widow, she has a background as, I believe, a Russian spy.
Yes.
Yes, which is really cool. And there's a lot to dive into there. And from what I've seen, she didn't exactly have the easiest upbringing in the world, and it was really difficult for her. So I think...
Do you want to get into it, or I can get into, like, because it's...
We don't have to get too deep into it. We can get some background.
Fucked. They grab them, and they train them to essentially be spies, mm-hmm. and it's not just in the art of killing. It's also in the art of seduction.
Mm.
They teach them to be ballerinas so they can, like...
That's right.
So they can teach them to, like, be smoother, be more fluid with their moves and stuff like that. They make them kill people they love, so they're, like, a little more heartless.
Mm-hmm.
And the final step in the graduation, which is one of the most fucked up things I've ever heard, is they destroy their reproductive organs.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
And I remember Black Widow talked about that when she was talking to the Hulk and... Well, not the Hulk, she was talking to Bruce Banner, and she was saying how... Because Bruce was like, well, even if we were together, we could never have kids. And she explained to him, like, you know, the part of the graduation that they destroy reproductive organs... So, you don't get attached to anything. And she goes, so don't think you're the only monster. So, like, the idea of her feeling like she's a monster because she can't have kids or something that was, like, forced upon her is a layer to the character that I don't think a lot of people really appreciate with her.
Mm-hmm.
There are little subtle things that she does that I think is phenomenal. In Captain America Winter Soldier, I think is her best performance in the MCU, there were little comments she made, little facial expressions that she made that showed that like she was really good at not only being a spy, but being a hero and being a friend. And I thought that was a great place for it to highlight how good she is, especially considering that Captain America and Black Widow do have some sort of a relationship, considering they're both S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the first Avengers movie, when she was tied to the chair and she was talking to Coulson, she was like, "I'm busy right now." And she goes, "This guy's telling me everything." He goes, "I'm not telling you. I'm not telling her everything." And she kind of gives her a look like, "Yeah, okay." Like, you know what I mean? So, and I don't think people appreciate what she's done in the MCU because it's Scarlett Johansson.
I think so. I think that you're right that what it does, she's established.
Yes.
So now it's like, all right, we move on to phase four where we are introducing more strong female leads. And now's the time to do it for Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Especially given what happened in Endgame and everything. What happened in Endgame absolutely broke. I was so upset.
When
she was with Hawkeye and they were going after the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like her character in Endgame was one of the only people holding the Avengers together. Like,
you know? Okay.
And she seemed like the backbone to it. And for her to be the one to kind of be like, all right, no, I'll do this. It's like, but you're the whole reason that anyone's even, like, here right now.
Yeah, because when everyone else either quit, retired, mm-hmm. decided to do other things, she was the one still, like I said, organizing.
She was, like, living there still. She yeah. was organizing and planning.
She didn't leave. Like, she wouldn't even leave. They were like, I think Cap asked her, when was the last time you left or something mm-hmm. like that? She was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, man. Like, so it's Natasha is a very interesting character, and I think that this movie is going to, it's either going to go one of two ways. People are either going to be like, oh, it's Scarlett Johansson, like, she doesn't do anything for me, whatever, she was bad and I didn't care for her in the other Marvel movies. Or people are going to watch it and she's going to put on a great performance and they're going to be like, wow, all right, so this is, she can carry a film. This is exactly what she can do.
They've also done a smart thing but put a good cast behind her.
That's important because it's going to help her carry the movie.
Yes. So as of now, the Black Widow movie, I thought I had it, but I don't. Full cast and crew. Here we go. So as of now, we have David Harbour, who's playing Alexi, the Red Guardian, who...
Oh, he's Stranger Things!
Yep, they got to do from Stranger Things.
Wait, hold on. He's playing Alexi?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine.
We have a woman called Florence Pugh. I have no idea who this woman is. She was in The Falling, Marcella, Lady Macbeth, and The Commuter. I have no idea who this woman is. Scarlett Johansson, obviously. Rachel Weisz. Why do I know that name?
I know that name. Crap, she's in...
Rachel Weisz
is in... I'm blanking really hard.
The Constant Gardener, Lobster...
The Mummy.
Who is she in The Mummy?
I have no idea. The Favorite! Oh! She's in The Favorite!
Okay, so...
That's what it is.
And so I'm guessing that there's somebody named Ray Winstone, and there's another guy named Laren Nathan. I'm assuming one of them are going to be... No, Ray Winstone, I think, is... let me make sure I get an image of him. But I think he's Arnim Zola. Nope. So Ray Winstone, someone's different. So I'm wondering whether or not either Ray Winstone or Laren Nathan are going to be Taskmaster. And for those of you who don't know Taskmaster, Taskmaster is a guy who has photographic reflexes. Anything he sees somebody do, he can do verbatim. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, he's actually even done things. He's watched things in fast forward so he can do them at that speed. Now it takes an incredible toll on his body because his body's not used to it, but he can do it. So he sees something do it, he can do it. So I'm actually excited for it more than anything else because Taskmaster's in it. But David Harbour is incredible.
If you're not familiar with David Harbour, he is in Stranger Things. He plays Hopper.
Yes.
In Stranger Things. And the reason why I made the Lexi joke is because if you haven't seen season 3, there's a character named Alexi who he makes fun of. And he actually is now playing a character named Alexi, which I just find very amusing.
Apparently he was in Suicide Squad, which I didn't know.
Really?
It was Dexter Tolliver in Suicide Squad. But I don't think anybody remembers much from that movie in general. So I think this movie, they picked a really good cast. So I think the movie should, do pretty well. Alright, I'm going to take a quick break. And we will come back with something I've been dying to talk about. And enjoy this song by my homeboy Battle Axe off of his new album, Axima. Thick skin, cause they gon' blast you for your ashiness and ugliness. But got no words when you be basking in your loveliness. Stone sticks, nah, they just loading lips with hatred on the hollow tip to rat attack your confidence. Pull up to your trophy case and flap at your accomplishments. So serenade them with grenades of accolades. They got Mac and leather mouths and they tongues 12 gaze. At the fleck what they're projecting and subject them to my Luke Cage rage. If that's what it's gon' take, they thinking you ain't bred for this. They praying that you break. Haters will say a lady ain't the greatest tennis player after 20 plus. Grand slams later, they still shade her. The basis, her gender, a racist agenda. Perplexed by her complexion, but she's built for this. I'm flexing with Serena's demeanor. That's why I keep me a Nina, but not the strap. I actually meant the soul of a singer. Cause I refuse to leave bleeding if I'm bleeding on the leaves. I got a sharpie to a sheet and I'm skinning a 16. Set a writing utensil on fire, press it against you. Cauterize the wound, fortify the living tissue. The rubber glue rhetoric is way too simple. See, my words don't stick. And we're back to the Old Man Wade Show. Before we get into the next topic, I just want to mention a quote that I found from Natalie Portman. And she goes, quote, as far as I know, I'm done. I mean, I don't know if maybe one day they'll ask for an Avengers 7 or whatever. I have no idea. But as far as I know, I'm done. It was a great thing to be a part of. So she's not angry, or I would be bitter too if out of nowhere to just like, oh, yeah, we're done.
After the Dark World?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, she was really mad. I did hear about that.
So, I just want to say, it may not be her. So, let's not put all the thing on her and, like, be negative about her. But, like, I don't see her as Jane Foster. I understand for it. I'm still going to watch the movie. And if she's good, I'll be the first one to come back on my show and go, yo, she was great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I hope that she does a great job. I hope that she proves me wrong with a new director and a new direction.
You never know. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind about it.
Yes.
I do want her to do well in the role. I'm very interested to see exactly how they're going to go about it.
All right. So, here's something that I've actually been dying to talk to you about. During our meeting at the bar for Fansided, we bonded on your love for Captain Marvel.
Yes.
So, explain to me your love for Captain Marvel, how you found out about her. Give me the breakdown.
So, I found out about Captain Marvel because I had no interest in seeing Captain Marvel. Because I was strictly a Wonder Woman person. I was like, you know, whatever, it's not going to be as good. Wonder Woman is, like, amazing. I'd never even heard of Captain Marvel. But I'd heard of, everyone's heard of Wonder Woman, you know.
She's one of the three most iconic comic book characters of all time.
Exactly. So growing up, and I, you know, that's what I knew. I didn't even know about Captain Marvel. And my friend Danny one night after our podcast was like, hey, you want to go see a movie? And I was like, sure. And he was like, Captain Marvel's playing. I saw it. It's actually pretty good. Like, why don't we go see it? So I was like, all right. And we went and watched it. And after it was, I think it's about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, I walked out of that theater and I was like, that was my favorite film. That, it was so good. And I mean, listen, a lot of people have an issue with Brie Larson's casting. I think Brie Larson is perfect as Carol Danvers in that role because Carol Danvers is written as a very, which is relatable, a very sarcastic, dry humor person. All my cousins in my family have that type of dry humor, have that very sarcastic, dry humor that she does.
So you can relate to her.
Yeah, we all have it. And I've never met a superhero who I could relate to more than her. And I think Brie Larson absolutely kills it in that role. She has a lot of range. She's an Oscar winner. Like, we know that she has talent. Captain Marvel as a whole, I think she's, the way they did it, I thought it was great. A lot of people have issues with it, but I personally, I even bought the DVD. Like, it's one of my, it's probably replaced Wonder Woman as my favorite superhero film.
Really?
It's done it. It's done it because of the relatable factor. It plays a huge role for me.
Okay, so I'm going to say something incredibly unpopular.
Go for it.
I liked Wonder Woman. 90% of that movie, I was in awe. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so great. This is so good. And then they get to the end of them. Then, okay. So, and I know the Valkyrie over here is going to say something. And we're going to agree on this. They put her in this random sex moment with...
Oh, Chris Pine. Like that unnecessary weird moment, right? Like,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fine, I guess. And then the last fight scene was atrocious. She was she wasn't fighting the God of War. She was fighting Magneto. And it was so bad. And I'm like, oh, that's where Scott Snyder is. Scott Snyder is the writer of Batman, the comic books, and he's phenomenal.
There you go.
So, and it was just like, and it could have been so fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just, one of my favorite scenes was her walking in to the ball.
Mm-hmm. With the oh my God, that was good.
And the sword in the back. That was awesome. Her just walking, just like, with confidence and like determination, and then like the sexy walk, and like, and again, like that sword in the back, I'm like, oh, she's about to wreck this dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was just moments like that, and then watching her just completely demolish the enemies when like we get our first real big fight scene from her. I was like, this is so damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she kind of had this kind of this Thor naivety with her like not really knowing like the culture of like the mortal world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, this is, she is so damn good. And then my co-host and one of my friends, Javi, he was talking about like, he's like, no, Gal Gadot's a legit badass.
Yeah, she
like,
is.
She was in like in the Israeli army. She's a martial artist. So it helps sell the role.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, it felt like I'm watching her and I'm like, oh, this is great. And even before Wonder Woman, my favorite moment in Batman v Superman
mm-hmm.
was when Doomsday hit her. She looked up at him for yeah. half a second and smiled.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, finally.
Yeah.
And she, I was like, oh my God, that was the best part of the movie.
It was the best part. So, a lot of people who saw that movie had that same thought process. And I had that same thought process. That was the best part of that film.
Yeah, easily.
And I didn't know she was in it. So, when I went to see it, and she was in that for that second where she's protecting the boys... And she looks up. I almost like jumped out of my chair. I was like, Wonder Woman is in this film? It made it... I thought it was kind of subpar at that point. And then she came in and I was like, this just got 10 times better.
Yeah.
Because you just... She has this interesting trend. They've written her as... Whether it be in Justice League or Batman, Superman, or in her own solo film, she's written as the one who saves everyone's asses.
I mean, let's look at it. Batman's a better fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman's stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Superman is maybe stronger. She's a better fighter.
Mm-hmm.
She's got longevity. She's been a warrior longer than both of them.
Oh, definitely.
She's been in more wars than both of them. She's been in more leadership roles than both of them. So at the end of the day, who's fucking with her?
Yeah.
The only person who I can legitimately see giving her any real competition is the Hulk. And I'm talking World War Hulk when no one else was angrier than he was. Where, like, one of the most destructive forces in comic books is Black Bolt's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Medusa, who was terrible in that fucking TV show, but is awesome in the comic books, and Black Bolt's standing there next to her, and Medusa's like, my husband's voice can like turn your bones, can shatter your bones and all this. And the Hulk went at him and Black Bolt whispered enough and it sent the Hulk back flying. And they turned around and Hulk goes, I didn't come here for a whisper, I came to hear you scream.
Well, there
and
you go.
There was nothing, it was like he was beating the shit out of everybody. There was nothing you could do to him. And he's the only person that I think could really actually go at Wonder Woman and really beat her.
Out of the whole DC, everybody.
Marvel, if you're talking comic books, because everyone's going to go, well, Goku. I'm like, yeah, fine, Goku, whatever. And yes, Professor Xavier and any telepath can get in there and do whatever. But if we're talking about an actual fight and mm-hmm. everything's even, no one's touching her. Like, you know what I mean? You might get, if she has her powers, she can beat anybody. If everything was even, you'll have the guys like Shang-Chi, Black Panther, Iron Fist, like, you know what I mean, who can beat her. But, like, where she's at now, no. I love Wolverine to death, but, like, if she puts Wolverine in a bear hug and then throws him into space, that's it.
Yes. You know what I mean? Game over.
Yes, and I love Wolverine's one of my favorite characters of all time, but no. You know what I mean? She's just that good.
I mean, what I was thinking about at one point was, and it sucks because you're never going to see this happen because Marvel and DC are, you know, completely on opposite sides. If I ever saw a film with Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel in it together, that would actually break me because, like, that's an insane amount of power in one film.
You know, okay. So I was actually pulling up this picture of, I don't know if you've ever read Civil War 2, but Iron Man fought Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And this picture here, she literally punched a hole through his armor.
Oh my god.
Like, she's that strong. This is one of his, like, major, big, like, War Machine Hulkbuster type of deals. But, it is funny because people go, why do you put... I wrote an article, Wonder Woman versus Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. who wins?
Yeah.
I got a lot of slack. Why would you put the two of them together just because they're women? I went, no. They're both independent women. They're both leaders. They're both military in their own sense. And they're probably the strongest in their particular field.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel is more powerful.
Yes.
Wonder Woman is better.
She's a better fighter. She's more tactical.
Yes.
What we know about Carol Danvers is she's very emotional.
Yes.
She leads heart first, head later.
Yes.
Type deal, which can get her in a lot of trouble.
Which has gotten her in a lot of trouble, especially in the comic books as well.
Oh, so much. So what we know about Diana is she's very head first.
Yes.
And
she does have emotions, so let's not say that she's like, because like, well, she like again, fanboys. She's an ice queen. No, she's not. No. Like, but she knows that like the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah.
She understands that she is the few.
Yeah, so the thing about Wonder Woman is she is very emotional in her own sense. She's just more tactical. She thinks a little more with her head, but she's very like, I want to do what's right. I want to help people, that thing. I've seen a lot of people talk about Carol Danvers being like, well, she's not emotional at all. I don't see... Are we watching, like, the same movie? Because when I watched that movie, there was, like, a plethora of emotion displayed by Brie Larson. From start to finish. And I've seen people be like, she was just dry. Though I don't get exactly what they're looking at, because...
Well, especially there was a specific moment with Maria Rambeau with mm-hmm. her daughter Monica, who mm-hmm. I can't wait to bring Monica Rambeau into the MCU. They cast her, but that was like that moment alone where she was like being like vulnerable with her daughter,
mm-hmm.
like, you know what I mean, when she showed her like the psychedelic like neon costume and then went to the red, gold and blue costume,
mm-hmm.
The scene where she was trying to deal with the man, I can't remember the name of the Kree. The Supreme Power or whatever it is. Supreme Intelligence, thank you. And, like, that moment where there was a lot of emotional moments. The part of it that she had to get away from was actually her emotions.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. And I think one of the most emotional parts of that movie is Carol looking at the alien, I think his name is Talos, and being like, I don't even know who I am. And then Maria steps in and goes... You're Carol Danvers, and Lashana Lynch, who plays Maria Rambeau, who's gonna be 007, gives this whole speech like, this is who you are, you're the strongest person I know. That, and then Brie Larson starts to like tear up, and like, if you watch that scene, that is one of the most emotional scenes in that film. That is a phenomenal display of acting by both of them, both Brie and Lashana. They did a killer job to the point where. I think it was Kevin, how do you pronounce that? Feige,
or something like that.
Who's, you know, had a big hand in that film, even said they had such insane chemistry that, you know, we had to cast both of, like, we had to cast Lashana Lynch. Because her and Brie Larson had this so I don't know what movie people are watching, because, like, there's a lot of emotion displayed in that film.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and this is going to be an unpopular thing, and it was everyone wanted Captain Marvel to be the first superhero to represent the LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me is like, don't force this.
Right.
Let things be organic. Someone on Twitter said the dopest thing ever, and never really dawned on me. Now, Carol Danvers, the only time I remember her being in a relationship was with Rhodey
mm-hmm.
in Civil War II, and that seemed kind of forced. But someone said, and I wish I could remember the person's name, they go, I never really understood the need to have her be part of the LGBT community. Carol Danvers always struck me as someone who's asexual.
Interesting.
And the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah. She's never really been one to be defined by, like, anything. Like, there was always this thing, like, with her and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never really... It seemed more like there was an attraction and a respect thing. But because of the respect, nothing ever happened.
Mm, makes sense.
You know what I mean? So, I remember when Carol Danvers, lost her... Like, something happened and she was freaking out. And Wolverine ran to her and hugged her and was talking to her and consoling her. And was like, remember the stuff Xavier taught you and all this other stuff. And then she said the funniest thing ever. She goes, we're in Cleveland, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bono's underwear's in there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but it's little
God.
Random shit like that. And they're kind of like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? So, like...
It fits the character.
So, she's sexual, but not, like... She doesn't need a male or female person to kind of, like, make her story good.
Right. And so, I mean, Brie Larson has come forward and said, hey, you know, like, we need an LGBTQ superhero. Like, this needs to happen
yes.
type thing. If you watch that film from, it's an interesting perspective. There are a lot of people, and I've, you know, kind of, I can see, you know, this point of view, that the whole Maria Rambo and then Monica thing, is in that film you get the whole, you lived with us, she basically helped raise that kid with, there's this whole idea that, like, her and, you know, Maria maybe weren't just friends type deal, and that's
yeah.
how you introduce the whole LGBTQ thing, because it's, don't ask, don't tell at the time.
Yeah.
So they couldn't say anything, but they're raising a kid together. And it's like, that would also, to me, fall under kind of organically introducing it. Because, like, you've established
yeah.
in the first movie, they're best friends, they live together, they were raising a daughter together. Like, that.
Yeah.
There's clearly some type
yeah.
of relationship.
The way she said Auntie Carol.
The way she said Auntie Carol, the way that, like, that again, that chemistry between those actresses, like, it works, right? So
yes.
if you were going to introduce it, it's not forced. And it works with the story. What would complicate it is that Carol's an alien now and Maria is still a human. And
yes.
like, aliens live like hundreds of years and Maria doesn't because she's a human being. So it's like, what do you do there?
Well, I think that's, if you do that, which could also explain how, well, no, it wouldn't make any sense because they didn't have sex and then create Monica. So, Monica Rambo, so it would make sense. But, I'm on a roll today.
Maybe you need some more sleep.
I need more biology classes, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you do need that biology class for writing.
That's the best I can do right now, man. I'm out of it, man. So, man.
Stupid idiot.
There you go.
The idea, but it wouldn't make sense that, like, they could, the way, it would be a great way to introduce it, you know what I mean? And it could kind of work the way where it's just like, you know, well, why couldn't you talk about this? Why couldn't you tell me that you and Auntie Carol were in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, well, back in the 80s, we couldn't express our love because we both couldn't be military and pursue our careers.
Exactly. It would add an interesting layer to it. And I think that, like, I genuinely kind of hope that they do go down this route because I'm rooting for it. Because I believe that they've really written a good base for it.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be weird to me. There are people who are like, oh, well, just do the whole... Because Tessa Thompson and Brie Larson are good friends. So it's like, oh, I'll do the whole Valkyrie... Captain Marvel thing, but that makes no sense to me because they haven't even, like, really met formally.
No.
So that to me is weird, but the Maria Carol thing makes sense because there's a life before she was Kree that we don't even know that much about.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is the backstory there? So that's a whole other thing to explore.
Well, yeah, and it's... I'm big on representation. I've been on the show, and it's funny, sometimes I have to stop myself from writing things that may get too militant, because I'm big on representation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't force it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
I don't want to, like, okay, and I always use this as an example. When they made Iceman gay, it made perfect sense to me. He's never really been able to hold a relationship, ever. There's always been issues with his powers because he's had these real big insecurities because he couldn't really be who he was. And there were early ages where he was just like, oh, just another girl, who cares about this? So making Iceman gay made sense to me. I was like, okay, so we're going into this. And then when they kept him as a gay character, they didn't turn him into a stereotype. He wasn't like wearing like booty shorts and like this whole thing where it was like a caricature of something. But he was still gay. He was still trying to figure himself out as an adult, which I would assume would be an incredibly difficult thing to try to do and be a gay male or a gay person in general over 30. But like,
sure.
But as soon as he came out, his powers got stronger. He became a different character, but he still remained, the essence of him still remained the same. They did an alternate reality where Hercules and Wolverine were together.
Interesting.
The way they told the story, it made sense. And Wolverine is so hetero that if he was gay, it's like, okay, well, it makes sense. And Hercules is known to be bisexual.
Mm.
He's Greek. He's lived thousands of years. That's what he does. You know what I mean? But if you were going to make, like, the Punisher or, like, Gambit or just these random characters, it's like, don't force it.
Yeah.
And if you need to make a gay character or another black character or another female character, make them. Don't just recreate a story because you feel it needs to be someone's popular.
Mm-hmm.
Make new characters. I've spoken on this podcast and other podcasts for a long time that America Chavez is going to be a fucking star. She's from an alternate reality where both her parents are female. She's from a place where I think it's called Utopia, where I think everyone's a woman. She's strong. She's powerful. She's intelligent. She's a leader. She's a bad motherfucker. And one of my favorite lines is her saying, "The laws of physics can kiss my ass."
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
They created a new character who is just badass. You don't need to recreate characters and make them bad. And if you have these new characters, like they've evolved the character of Shuri. They've evolved the character of Okoye in the comic books. Valkyrie's gotten different. Jane Foster, as we've talked about earlier, has become a different character. She went from being just a random doctor to the mighty Thor, and now she's going to be a Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
So they've evolved evolved the characters. And if you want to make a character who's gay, make new ones. Or use the ones you already have.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it now is I also think that because it's all coming down to film at this point, like how you see them on screen, I think a lot of it has to do with the actor, too. Like, a lot of actors just naturally kind of present themselves in a way that, like, all right, like, you play that role in a way that it's very believable. Like, to me, Valkyrie being queer is not a surprise to me at all, because the way Tessa Thompson plays Valkyrie
and who she is in her real life.
And who she's in her real life.
Perfect example. I was writing an article and I was casting certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And you get someone like Eva Green,
mm-hmm.
or the woman who plays Cersei. I can never remember her name.
Lena Headey.
They can't play wholesome characters.
No.
Eva Green looks like an asshole.
Lena Headey looks like an asshole.
Yes.
I love her, but...
But they're phenomenal actors.
Oh my god, amazing.
But you can't cast them as, like, these wholesome characters. I'm not believing Eva Green is, like, some, like, woman, like, picking apples for her husband. If she's picking apples for her husband, she's poisoning a pie.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with Lena Headey. It's like, oh, what is she gonna play, like, a damsel in distress or something? Like,
okay,
she's gonna find a way to, like, bludgeon you over the head, like, okay. But back to that point, like, it's the same thing that's... Like, to me, the way Brie Larson plays Carol Danvers...
Yes.
And what she is in her real life, no one really knows 100%. Yeah. But for the way she plays Carol Danvers comes off to me as very, as like a very, you know, whether it be bisexual or gay or whatever it is, it comes off to me in that, that's how she projects it.
Yeah.
To me, anyway. I mean, I could be wrong, but...
Everything that I've seen from her in the, in, Thor Ragnarok, there was no sexual chemistry between Valkyrie and Thor. There was no sexual chemistry between her and Hulk. It was kind of, it's a big brother, it was like big sister, little brothers.
Yeah,
like,
you know, exactly. What I
mean? And even in Avengers Endgame, same thing. It was like, she became the little sister who now had to watch over her little brother who, whose life has just been like destroyed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, and that's why I loved at the end of it when he was like, you'll make a great ruler. I think he actually called her a king.
Yeah, called her a king. You don't say queen, you said king.
Yeah, he was like, you'll make a great king. Like, you know what I mean? Because he knew that, like, you're what Asgard needs now.
Yeah.
So, I would like to see Valkyrie acknowledge what her sexual preference is, but I don't want them to focus on it.
Right. It would be nice to just have that. What you could do is, just like in any other movie, if it was like a straight relationship, just have it run through the film like a regular relationship. Don't focus on it. Just have it be there just like it would be in any other film.
Yeah, and I...
make it, normalize it, because that's what you have to do.
Well, I think that's a problem with a lot of movies in general. Like, if they feel the need to have these romantic relationships. And I remember when episode 8 of Star Wars, when we found out that Rey wasn't going to have a romantic relationship, people were like, what? And it's like, well, Luke didn't have one.
Ragnarok didn't have a romantic relationship. Captain Marvel didn't have a romantic relationship.
Winter Soldier did not. You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily...
A lot of these films don't.
You don't need a romantic relationship to make a movie, like, good. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
At all. Like, just make a good movie.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a newer concept, though. I think that's kind of, like, something that people are just starting to tackle, that you don't need... Like, I don't... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Is, in Wonder Woman, is Chris Pine's character vital to her story?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not a big DC buff. I know that he is vital to her her story.
Okay. Cuz I was going to say, if he's not vital, if he was just thrown in as a romantic interest, then you could have just taken him out easily. But if he's vital to her in the comics and as her development as a character, then obviously you keep
him. I don't know if it's romantic. I do know in the Rebirth and New 52 thing, they were in a relationship and then something happened and broke him off and all that. So I know that the New 52, which is not even 10 years old yet, that might be 10 years old, but the New 52 stuff is different. So, but I don't remember what it's like originally, back when, in like the 40s? 40s and 50s? When she was created? Whatever it was when she was created. I don't remember if they were in a romantic relationship. I would assume at that time they probably were, because, you know, science.
Yeah.
But, but we're not in that era anymore.
Yeah.
You don't need the two of them to be in a romantic relationship in order for the story to actually work. And I know that was Aunt Michelle's problem too, right?
What?
With Trevor and Wonder Woman. Like, how they, like, that random sex scene, it was like, okay, what was this for?
Yeah, well, there was no purpose to it yet.
Yeah, so, like, it was kind of like, why?
There is no need for...
It's just a throw-in, almost.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It was kind of like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, like, you know that, like, all right, if he kissed her, like, okay, that's, like, one thing. But, like, that whole entire scene of them, you know, at the door, and, like, that was just kind of this filler. You don't need it.
It might have been even funnier if he went to kiss her and then she backed up.
Like, what are you doing? Well, actually, I wouldn't have been surprised, because, like, she's never... That movie is interesting to me because she's never really interacted with men, and it seemed like she fell so easily into the world of men.
Yes.
You know, so that's why I was with the whole...
Almost turned into a teenager.
Thing. Yeah, so the whole... that's what bothered me about that film. The whole Trevor thing... It's like she just kind of... It was easy for her to fall into this romantic relationship with this guy, but she's never even been down that path before, so why is it... It shouldn't necessarily be this simple. There should be a little, like, what is happening, kind of, what are you doing? Maybe a little more, like, emotional struggle, too? Yeah. Like, because there's a lot of new things that she's experiencing, maybe.
Or did Trevor Noah take advantage of her?
Of who?
Wonder Woman?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, I would say she's naive, but I don't...
Yeah!
Because she's stupid. I think she would have, like, chopped his hand off if she felt like...
Oh, no, no. Let's not get it confused.
Like, in any way.
She wasn't forced to do anything. Yeah. But did he kind of coerce her to be like...
That I don't know. I think that maybe she felt, you know, a certain way, and then he didn't exactly discourage it.
That, okay. Here's my thing.
So to speak.
All right. As a guy... And you know what? I'm going to take a break. I mean, let me take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll discuss this topic, because this is going to get some shit.
This is a Main Hustle Media podcast. Hey, y'all. This is Charmaine, a.k.a. Mixed Girl Maine, host of Militantly Mixed, the podcast about race and identity from the mixed race perspective. If you are of mixed race or multi-ethnic heritage, this show is here to represent for you. And if you're a monoracial person that is just curious about what us mixed folks go through, this show is for you too. You can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, or most any other podcast platform. Militantly Mixed is a Main Hustle Media podcast, and don't forget to be your mixed ass self. Main Hustle Media. Turn your side hustle into your main hustle.
All right, and we're back. So, here's my thing. As a guy, when you want to have sex with a woman, and you have to be the... I think aggressor is the wrong word here. When you're the one who's pursuing... the person you want to have sex with.
Or initiating.
Initiate, thank you. When you're initiating the person you have sex with, or you want to have sex with, you have to be aware of what's going on. I've told the story on this podcast a million times, but I'll tell it to you again just for context. The first time me and my wife had sex, she was shit. No, not sex. The first time we met, she was shit faced. She wanted birthday sex, and I was like, is she drunk? Yes, then that's a no. I'm good. Not my thing. So you kind of have to know what you're dealing with the person's, like, emotional state. I don't know if I would be comfortable having sex with someone who, one, is a virgin for like, you know, I'm pretty sure she might have gotten along with one of the other Amazons. But it's like, it just, did he kind of coerce her into doing it?
No. I don't think so. I think that they just threw that shit into that movie and it was stupid. It was reckless and there was no need for it.
There was no need for it, she's right.
Like, even like what you're saying now, like portraying like Diana as like the helpless fucking virgin doesn't make sense because that's not who she is.
Maybe that's what
it is. Like, even the way that you're talking about her points out the reason why it's so ridiculous that they needed to throw that scene into that movie. Because she is not weak, or she is not, like, this, like, somber virgin that, like, needs saving, but they that's what they did with that scene. That's why it bothers me so much, like, because they made her all of a sudden this, like, what men typically think women are, virginal and... sweet and
fragile.
Yeah, like she was broken and needed to be fixed.
Yes.
It's bullshit.
So I don't know if they're trying to maybe like show a different side to her because she is so like strong and badass all the time.
What's wrong with that?
But also people who write these movies, I don't know, like they do too much sometimes. You know what
There's
I mean?
There's nothing wrong with showing another side.
Right.
But they didn't have to make her look fucking weak.
That's my
point. Show that side.
But that's my thing. Like, why do they need to do that? Like, you know? Like, she's fucking Wonder Woman. Like, how would you feel if it was like, if they was like, hey, we're just gonna have Captain America randomly have sex for no fucking reason at all?
Well, yeah, well, I still believe Captain America doesn't have sex because.
I think Black Widow put it on him. Oh, I think Black Widow put it on him.
Boring.
Oh, not when Black Widow was done.
I actually have not heard the theory of Captain America Black Widow.
Yeah, I think I'm the only person who's ever said this. All right, let me tell you. You've seen Winter Soldier, right?
So I actually haven't seen the Captain America.
If we ain't got nothing to do with
Walker. Bores me, man. I can't.
Thank you. Thank you. I hate Captain America. I think it's like licking sandpaper on a hot day. Like, when you haven't had anything
I'm righteous, Mr.
for like 3 days.
I'm perfect, righteous Captain America.
Language.
That's no language.
I'm so sorry.
If you have nothing to do, we're watching Winter Soldier. If you have nothing else better to do, we're watching Winter Soldier. That movie's fucking amazing. But there are parts of the movie where it's almost like Black Widow is teaching him about sexuality.
Oh, Lord.
Like, it was funny, like, there's two elevators. One's going up, one's going down. And she goes, kiss me. He goes, what? She goes, kiss me. And so he kisses him. And she was like, not bad. He was kind of like, like, kind of, like, confused. Like, what do you mean, not bad? But, like, so it was, there was, like, so she wouldn't say anything if she wasn't wondering how he would be. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going to assume he was a virgin up until he went back in time with Peggy Carter. So, I wonder if like, one night after a mission, the adrenaline's going, they just destroyed, like, another Hydra base, and, like, they were just stuck somewhere randomly, and Black Widow put him on them.
Maybe.
I mean,
but he still sucks.
Y'all keep saying that.
Sorry. I mean, listen, I'd find it really interesting if that was the case. It would definitely
There'd be something interesting about
it. Yeah, there would, like, do it. To me, Captain America is almost like Superman. Superman's boring, too.
Alright.
Agreed.
I used to think Superman was boring up until I read something about him recently. I've actually been reading a lot of Superman I've been reading a lot of Superman recently, just like in DC Comics, and he's actually not as boring as like I remember him being.
Really?
Yeah, he's actually a lot more interesting, but I also think that my initial introduction to Superman was just a bad writer. But then I remember reading him from the, watching the Superman animated series and the Justice League cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. Like, one of my favorite moments was he was fighting Doomsday. And he beat the shit out, not Doomsday, Darkseid. He beat the shit out of Darkseid. And he goes, I feel like I'm living in a world made out of cardboard. I can never let loose, but you can handle it, right? And he leaned back and punched Darkseid so fucking hard. And it was like, okay, about fucking time. But he has he is very, I'm not going to call him bland. He's very, he's the epitome of what the American dream should be.
What, boring?
No, not.
I don't understand what you're saying, sir.
You just made the list!
Just saying.
Truth, justice, acceptance is all he, like, believes in. Like, you know what I mean? Him and Captain America both have the same thing. The difference is Captain America will kill you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't like to do it. Like, he was in World War II. He killed a bunch of people.
Well, yeah, that's...
You know what I mean? Like, so it cracks me up when he's, like, judgmental about Wolverine. It's like, you killed a lot of people. And I think Wolverine brought that up to him. He goes, you killed Nazis. So let's not act like you're holier than thou right now. I forget what the point of all this was. Long story short, like, I think Captain America and I think Superman are both good characters. I think it really all depends on who's writing them. The current series that I'm catching up on, He's a really good writer, so I'm enjoying the shit out of it now. But he's also made him not boring. And then Brandon, who came on the show, was talking about him. He was explaining why Superman isn't boring. So it made a little bit of sense. You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure, motherfucker.
I was yawning.
Oh. Just making sure. But while we're here with the talking about boringness, if that's even a fucking word. But we were talking about
we were discussing
Captain Marvel and the LGBTQ community and things like that. I did want to get into your thoughts on not just LGBTQ rights, but on women's rights in general and the direction that Fuckboy 45 has actually taken in terms of, make America shitty again. Which is funny because if you actually, the acronym would be MASA.
Oh, God.
Which one of you would like to start?
Wait, what's your question?
How do you feel about the direction they've been going on LGBTQ and women's rights over the last, 4 years?
Over the last 4 years?
Since Fuckboy 45.
We've taken, 20 steps backwards. I think that it's gross. I'm not really sure how religious beliefs play into government or why they still do. It feels like we stepped back into the mid, 1940s.
You took a swig. It's kind of seemed like you needed one.
As far as women's rights go,
with Alabama and shit.
Well, not even Alabama, everywhere. I mean, but Alabama, 10 times worse right now.
Well, y'all keep talking. I was just...
I know what you're saying. You walked away. Kind of came off. I can't, have a conversation with your back.
Sorry, I'm saying pretty good.
Edit point.
I'm not editing shit.
What are you doing?
I'm getting alcohol for you.
That's for it.
Okay, never mind. I'll put it back. I'll edit that out. All right, so...
You threw me out.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, it's just weird that we have this, idea that it really has anything to do with me, and me as a guy. It's hysterical as a heterosexual male. I hate the word cis. Why am I involved in the... reproductive organs of a woman.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be.
It's nothing to do with me. At all.
You hear a lot of blame, use Alabama, for instance, this, new,
Orlando. Law
that they're Orlando. Trying to, force and pass and whatever. I don't grasp how the government can place the law, because we're supposed to be free of persecution.
Church and state are supposed to be free.
Yeah, against religious beliefs. So how can you pass a law? All these anti-abortion laws are based off of God, right? Christian gods, Bible, whatever. How can you pass a law based off religion? A. B. If it was a man that had babies, this wouldn't even be a question. There would be... you'd be able to get an abortion when you want. You'd probably go to CVS and be like, can somebody just suck this out real quick? I gotta get back to work.
What is that? I found that the plan, Plan B for women is $65 or some shit
It's $70.
Yeah, $70 over the counter. That's pharmaceutical, though. They're allowed to...
If it was a man, it would be
probably be free.
Let's not get this twisted. It's never been about, anything other than controlling women, because America was founded by the English, who have a patriarchal system, and it's always been like that. I don't think people fully understand the whole Plan B thing. Like, I don't think dudes fully understand how terrible it is to actually take it.
Once, an ex-girlfriend of mine took one, and she explained to me, like, how fucking bad it was, and I was like, wow, I will be more responsible. I'm sorry. Like,
it's bad. I had a guy once who I was with, and he was like, you know, whatever, like, I'll just buy you Plan B, like, it's fine, let you know. And I was like, dude, what? You understand exactly what you're talking about right now?
Or, like, what we're actually putting in our body, like, what it can actually do to you, the side effects, the, like, repercussions after the fact. Like, exactly. So, like, when somebody does take, like, Plan B or does something like that, it's well thought out. You don't just do it. Like, you're not just like, you know what? I feel like an abortion today.
It's a Wednesday.
I could use some stomach cramps and fucking extreme pain. Like, let's do that.
And feeling bad about myself.
Yeah, like, I could use some, like, deep ridden guilt. And, yeah.
It's a little wild. I deserve something like
this.
So bad.
Like, are there people that use abortion to excess, like, that should be better educated and maybe taught safe sex practice, mm-hmm. and, like, what birth control is? Definitely. I definitely believe that. I do believe, though, part of it is lack of education. I think that because schools did things like get rid of, you know, like, sex ed and replaced it with friggin' chastity vows and, like, it's unrealistic. Like, I had this conversation recently. Somebody was, you know, chastising this woman for asking a question about birth control for her daughter because her daughter had, like, a specific illness and she wanted to know. So she went on to this forum that I'm a part of and she said, you know, if I get my daughter birth control, will this affect this disease? She was asking a simple question, like, anybody know about, you know, like, my 17-year-old daughter came to me and told me she's having sex. She has this disease.
Which is a responsible thing to do.
Do you have any of you women who have this disease know if there are any side effects or residual, like things that will happen from my daughter taking birth control? Are there better choices? People literally started being like, you should talk to your daughter about abstinence, blah, 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 blah. Like, reaming this lady, and I, like, wrote her thing. I was like, the copper IUD has no hormones, it blah 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 blah. I said, don't listen to the rest of these people. These women are the women's children who get secret abortions or have children out of wedlock or high pregnancies. Mm-hmm. It's unrealistic to think that your child is not going to have sex simply because you preach abstinence. You're being an irresponsible parent. And the mother was like, thank you so much. I didn't know if there were better products. Like, I didn't know whatever. I didn't know that people were going to give me such a hard time. And it's like, why? I don't understand. If somebody asks a specific question, is this going to cause this effect? Why do you need to go off on a tangent about why this person she didn't ask you for your fucking opinion. She didn't want to know what your thoughts and feelings were on her daughter having sex. She asked a health-related question that she just needed an answer to. If you don't want to just answer that health-related question, scroll on by.
Mind your business.
I don't understand why people started, like, you know, chastising her about her 17-year-old daughter having sex. Kudos that her daughter's 17 and having sex and wasn't younger. Like, good for her
for having
an open conversation with her child.
Yeah.
And having communication and her child being able to come to her and say, hey, Mom, I'm having sex. How do I keep from getting pregnant? Like, it's stuff like that. So, like, when you talk about women's rights and you talk about abortion and you talk about, not only are men pushing their, like, biblical fucking bullshit, you have these women that, you know, follow them like lost dogs that are also pushing their bullshit, like, downing other women for just trying to, like, live their best life or just trying to do the responsible, appropriate things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that bothers me. Women like that bother me even more than the men that they're married to.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Because if you had a disgusting opinion about some kind of woman's right, I would explain to you 10 times over why you were fucking wrong and why it was not okay that you were saying what you were saying. Like, I just don't understand again, I get people have their own beliefs, but your religious belief is not my belief, and I don't have to believe what you believe.
Do you know one of my favorite, one of the things that really befuddles me about people and religious beliefs is one of the things that Christianity preaches is, preaches acceptance, tolerance, and not preaching to other people who don't want to hear this shit. Yes, it is! In the Bible that they fucking talk about. And they love the fucking quote, but they don't want to quote about the part where, like, if someone doesn't want to be preached to, then don't do it. Like, that's one of the teachings of the fucking Bible. Like, you know what I mean? So, it's funny, there's an atheist that Rob Mungo, who I fucking love, who knows the Bible front to back, so whenever these, like, religious, like, zealots come at him, he throws Bible verses right back at him, and they get so upset. He's like, well, you're an atheist. What do you know about the Bible? He was like, know your enemy.
Well, no, it's true, but yeah, no, the last 4 years has been scary, eye-opening.
That's a very good way to put it, yeah.
Would you want to talk about the story that happened to us that morning?
What story? Oh, no. Well, you're talking about a completely different topic.
No, just so. it kind of goes into the whole scary thing.
But, like, the fact that we took so many steps forward when it came to women's rights, and especially women's reproductive rights, and now we've taken, like, I don't know, like 20 steps back into 1945.
So bad.
Is horrible. Like, Alabama, you're going to see an increase in women's deaths due to, like...
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Like, people are going to go back to backroom abortions and stuff. Like, how can you get raped and then be told that you have to carry that baby full term, take care of it, because God forbid you give it up to the state, that's inappropriate, and then be told that your rapist gets parental rights and gets to take your baby home every other weekend? Like,
and Lord knows what that person is actually teaching your child.
Lord knows what that person's doing to your child. Yeah. Like, it's kind of scary to think that that's a real thing. Like, I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know if you watch it.
Or I've been trying to, but I know about it. I don't have Hulu, but, like...
So, like, it's, like...
I'll give you my login.
Post-apocalyptic, like, women...
Elizabeth Moss is in it as the lead. Yeah.
Women, there are only a select few women can reproduce. Mm-hmm. They, like, essentially group these women, and they use them as, like, handmaids, and they're forced to have babies with these, like, men, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the whole show, literally, like, women can't do anything. Like, women aren't allowed to read. They don't teach the women how to read, like, the younger generations. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's a futuristic generation. It's, like, our generation now being put back, like, decades, millennial. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, women can't read. Women can't, like, go out in public without a chaperone, like, women, like, it's a whole thing. I feel like that is, like what is happening now is, like, the beginning of something like that. Like,
yep.
Like, a militant-based, like, woman-suppressed colony.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
I would die, FYI. I'd be the first one to probably die. Because I would... They wouldn't be able to, like,
Oh, no, they won't kill you. They are killing you. You are No. You are going to be the person they bring out every month to remind people that we will keep you alive. And every month, they're going to go, are you done yet? And they're going to go, fuck you. Every time they bring you up. They are not going to kill you. Because you're just not that person. Like, you know what I mean? They're going to be the person they think they can break. They can't break you. At all. There's no way in hell that's going to do it. And one thing is strong. I don't get men who can deal with weak women. That shit is completely unattractive to me.
Explain.
I need someone who's going to stimulate and challenge me. I don't have any yes men in my circle. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't have this podcast. I wouldn't be sitting here with you. So, okay. Perfect example. When I went to that whole meeting, I was super fucking nervous. I'm like, how many people am I going to see? Who am I going to talk to? And my wife was like, just go be yourself. Mm-hmm. And I almost didn't go.
I almost didn't go, too.
But she was just like, no, go. Have a good time. Promote yourself. And I was like, all right. So I went in there, and the weird baseball guy was there.
The weird baseball guy.
Okay, I can't remember the other woman's name who came in later from Colorado. Alaska.
Alaska. Oh, my God. I feel so bad. I can't remember it.
I see her on
Instagram. Yeah.
And
Bethany.
Yes.
I got you.
So Bethany was there. And Bill. I think his name is Bill.
Yes.
I see him. I talk with him on Facebook all the fucking time, which is hilarious. I love that guy. He's fucking great. So if I hadn't gone, I wouldn't have connected with these people that I now have like relationships with, and the people that I have like conversations with that both helped me, that they really helped me like progress as a person. And this is all, it's all a tribute to my wife, because she was the one to go out there, make sure you do it. And like every week she was like, when are you going? When is it? I'm like, I'm going, I promise. But it wasn't like a thing where she was forcing me. It was like encouragement. Go out there, meet some people, mm-hmm. promote yourself, do things like that. Like, you know what I mean? So if I had like just some yes woman in my circle, it would just be like, oh no, you don't want to go, then don't go. And then, like, no, I need strong people around me. And I need a strong wife around me. Someone's going to call me out on my bullshit. Someone's going to be able to like rub my back when like my depression hits an all-time high, or like when my anxiety and I'm like crying and shit like that. I need someone who's gonna be there for me, mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean. And like I need that in my life, like, you know what I mean. I don't understand like these random guys who are just like, well, like, you're gonna do what I say, and they're like, yes, daddy. And it's like, really? You're cool with that?
It's awful.
Nah, man. I don't get it. That's just me. It's just one of those weird things that I just don't completely understand. All right, so we've actually gone longer than I wanted. Well, not really wanted to. I got a little bit longer than I thought I would. But this has been the Old Man Way Show. So, Talar, tell everyone where they can meet you.
Excuse me?
Tell everyone where they can get you, where they can find you.
At Kawajanti is the Instagram and the Twitter. It's KHWAJIAN letter T. Of course, the at handle. And then the Center Court handle is on Twitter and Instagram. It's @center_court_TV. Go find it. Go follow it. You will not regret it.
Valkyrie, is there anywhere they can reach you?
No.
Don't forget to check oldmanwade.com for all the back episodes and things of that nature. You can find all our articles and stuff like that. Don't forget, check out my homegirl, Charmaine. She's awesome. You can find her at Bifurious. Bifurious is a podcast where she literally talks about... Actually, I can read it. An LGBTQ podcast about sexuality, gender, lifestyles, and love styles by the busiest mixed-race, bisexual, polyamorous, atheist podcast hostess in the pod game. So you can find her there. Don't forget to check out The Culture. Comic Book News. Culture Comic Book News is another podcast I do, where it's strictly about comic books. You can also find me at Comic Books 101, where I do another podcast with my homegirl, wow. Woo! Maybe I have too many beers. My homeboy, Brandon. We discuss comic book news. It's strictly comic books. We'll be doing one about The Boys soon. By the time this one comes out, we'll probably have already done that. But you can find it there. But yeah, this has been the Old Man Wade Show. Until then.
Damn it, Wade!